Attention tadpoles. You are now listening to the host of Where I Belong, the Frog King himself, David Corbo.
The great Ari Manis.
The great.
The great, that's right. Wow. I'm gonna pull that away a little bit. That's a little loud there. Comedian, actor, as well as Taco Bell's 2017 Customer of the Year, which I would argue is probably the greatest achievement on that list.
That's very nice of you. Is this too loud? Am I too loud?
No, actually, that's perfect. Okay. You found the sweet spot, man. That's beautiful. Well, first off, thank you for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time.
I've never done a Skype interview before that's been recorded. I didn't even know.
Yeah. Neither did I. I forgot what I originally was doing this on. Oh, you know what I was doing? I was recording myself and using Bluetooth speakers to pump out the voice of whoever I was Skype calling. And then I was recording that with my phone.
Wow.
And then I realized, oh, shit, Skype's got a record feature. So my apologies to all my really early listeners for all the shitty quality podcasts when clearly I could have just been doing it this way. But how many tacos does it take to become 2017 Customer of the Year by Taco Bell? Or is it, you know, is it just tacos? What is it?
Oh, man, it's not even that I'm Customer of the Year. I'm Customer of my lifetime. I've been eating Taco Bell since I was a baby.
Yeah, I found it on your Wikipedia. I thought it was... when you're a kid, they just kind of, it's probably best they puree it, right? Like a ninja. Well, they didn't really have ninjas back then.
Wait, is that really on my Wikipedia? Or are you joking?
Oh, your Wikipedia is filled with fun stuff.
I don't even have a Wikipedia.
Well, all right. I mean, I was reading something earlier today. Did
maybe
a little research.
Now I want to see my Wikipedia.
It's something. You know what? It's not really a Wikipedia. It is by Wikipedia, but it's like, I remember it being a subcategory because if you try to look it up initially, you can't find it. And then I found it. It's still on Wikipedia. It's still a Wikipedia page.
Ari Manis Wikipedia. Nope, it's gone.
Oh. Well, it's like
it.
I said, it's not.
Oh, wait, no, here it is.
There's something there. What does it say?
It says, this article is being considered for deletion.
It's a good sign.
And I guess maybe, you know, Wikipedia always changes. Maybe it used to have something about Taco Bell, but it got taken away.
2017 Taco Bell Customer of the Year. And they didn't say where.
It's gone now.
I was impressed. I was floored.
But that's pretty cool.
As far as your digestive health, I mean, that's one thing, but what's a little sacrifice for greatness?
That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm probably in the worst shape health-wise I've ever been in my entire life.
You look all right. You look pretty solid over there.
Thank you. But I have just a little pudge, you know?
Oh, that's all right. It's something to kind of lean on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of drop an elbow on every once in a while.
It's something to give me goals.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. It's somebody to talk shit to when you look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, brings in depression and all that. But it's all fun stuff. That's what life needs, ups and downs and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's been a sad few days. I don't know if you saw they posted a video about me on Instagram or of my stand-up.
Which one?
It's me doing a joke about teachers.
Okay.
And I am getting ripped apart.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
You just got off tour with over the weekend with Theo?
Yeah, but this is unrelated. This is just a video that the Laugh Factory posted about me.
Okay,
me.
The Laugh Factory. All right.
And no one likes me, dude.
What happened? Please, you gotta elaborate.
It's just a set, a 1 minute joke that I do, or they cut it into 1 minute. And if I'm being honest, it's one of my better jokes. It does pretty well in the room. I mean, you could hear the audience laughing. But the fans or the strangers on the internet, they're like, this guy's the worst. He's a pedophile. He's a rapist.
What in the world? That's normally Bert Kreischer's shtick. What happened? What did you do? Not against teachers.
It's a joke about teachers saying that they shouldn't be paid more. I mean, it's 1 minute, so anybody could go look it up, but it's just a joke. And then,
but the crowd liked it.
The crowd, you could hear the crowd laughing. And the final punchline is, you know, teachers get the premise of the joke is they get off early. I talk about how easy it is to be a teacher. They get to have sex with their students. And they all do that job. And I say, if she's 18, I'll do it. If she's 17 and doesn't talk about it, I'll do it. You know, a joke.
Right, yeah, right. Comedian.
Inappropriate joke.
Right.
A little edgy. But yeah, they are ripping me to shreds.
You know what it is, man? When you're sitting in the crowd, it's one thing, right? You're like invested in it. You're going for that ride. And you know what you're there to see. When people, you know, find it online, they're sitting on their toilet. They're pulling their dick. And they're completely out of context. They're not sitting around with a bunch of other people who get it, who paid to be there, who are there for a good time. And without all that camaraderie of being in the crowd, they just get filled with a bunch of stupid shit. But that's the internet. I mean, the internet's great. Don't get me wrong. You know, yeah, it's a beautiful place. There's cool shit that comes from it. But
yeah,
you know,
I'm addicted to it.
Oh, dude, absolutely. You know, one time I made a stupid, when I first started the show, I reached out to somebody pretty big. He's a Muay Thai competitor, and I thought I knew his sense of humor, and I tried to say something cheeky to him, and I had fucking 20 followers at the time. And I reached out to him, and I said, you know, I'm what you would call a person of influence, and I think that your career could really benefit from an interaction with me, and just all this pompous shit, but it was so outlandish.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any way that this could be misconstrued.
And what, like, you ain't shit, dude.
You want to talk about someone? This guy actually took the message, put it up on his page. I got attacked by over 1,000 people. And I, you know, this is as a podcaster just starting, no foothold in the game at all. Over 1,000 people just, I mean, the post got over 8,000 views. And then in the comments, it was over 1,000 comments. I mean, think about how often a post gets that much interaction. But people came out of the when it's time to fucking hate on somebody, alarm goes off. People come out of from whatever crevice they're stuck in, and they shit all over you.
It's insane, and it feels, I'm sensitive. It feels like shit. This video, I'm gonna look it up right now. This Laugh Factory video that they posted to me has 822,000 views right now.
Holy shit.
2,500 comments. 2,500 comments. The number one comment is, this guy looks like Adam Sandler's retarded cousin.
That's fucking funny, though.
And that has 2,950 likes.
Jesus Christ. 3,000
people are like, yeah, that guy's Adam Sandler's retarded comment cousin. And then 2,500, someone wrote, pedophiles are funny, right? Calling me a pedophile. That has 2,500 likes. Anyway.
It's exhausting. That's exhausting. But what do you do with that? You just try to ignore it, even though you're getting tagged constantly, I bet.
Oh, I had to. I was getting so many people, strangers on the internet, going on my profile and commenting on my pictures, you're a pedophile. Right. That I had changed the settings to where only people who follow me can leave a comment.
Right. I don't know. It's to me, we're getting into this weird place where comedians making jokes is, you know, I know it's a horse that everybody's beaten to death right now, but it's just this idea of what the fuck happened to jokes? What happened to jokes, man? Can't make jokes?
But on the upside, I got 1,000 followers and I'm getting some people who, getting some new fans from it too.
There you go. Yeah, so I got a few followers.
With the bad comes the good.
You know what I did, though, like an insane person? I tried to engage those people. I hopped in the comments. Don't do that. It's a terrible idea. I hopped in the comments.
Yeah.
I tried to win them over. Yeah, absolutely. I said, you know, some people, I said funny things if I saw that they were completely unreachable. But to me, the people that were asking things like, is this guy serious? Like, I feel like, I don't know if this is serious. I would go to them and I would say, no, dude, it was a fucking joke. It was a joke. But it just went over. Sometimes you miss the mark and you get shit on by an army of people. But it gave me like a weird anxiety. You know what was funny about it was I kept trying to tell myself, that's no big deal. I was reading the comments and laughing at them, like having a laugh about myself. You know, some of the things they were saying were funny, you know. But for some reason, I was getting like nauseous, like physically nauseous. And my mind was separated from that in that I was like, this is ridiculous. It's crazy. Internet's a crazy place, right? And I'm having a laugh, but at the same time, I want to check it again to see who else has said some shit.
Totally.
And I'm getting physically ill.
Every negative comment and about myself. I'm in my head, I'm like, how could people be taking this so seriously and getting so offended over a sentence that was a joke? I want to change their opinions about me, but at the same time, you can't. You can't appeal everyone. I just got to do my thing. I just got to do what makes me happy and not read those comments anymore.
But it is interesting when you strike a nerve on the internet and you go, oh, look at that. Look at the way that's shaking things up.
You know what else is weird? They posted the same clip on their YouTube. Mm-hmm. And on YouTube, everyone likes it.
Or, you know, YouTube is fucking depraved.
The majority of the people like it. It got a lot of positive comments, a high upvote rating. But Instagram is just completely different.
Well, the Laugh Factory, I'm sure, never posted that with the intentions of, like, they posted it from the point of view of, look, here's a comedian killing it with a joke.
Yeah, you know? They liked it.
So it's strange how those things get taken out of context. But what the fuck can you do? You just shake it off and keep moving. But man, you just came off of a weekend with Theo, right? For how long were you guys out there?
Yeah, I mean, we do the road probably. We've been doing it maybe two weekends out of the month since October of last year, or maybe September of last year. But yeah, we usually just go for the weekends and then come back to LA. So this last weekend I was in San Jose. Actually, this was 8 shows. So it was Thursday through Sunday, 2 shows a night.
Okay.
So yeah, we left Thursday morning. We got back Monday morning. We did shows and then we leave again Friday morning for Phoenix.
And that's maybe why you got the little pouch going on there, right? Because how the fuck do you eat healthy on the road?
Oh yeah, it's hard to eat healthy on the road. It's hard to fight
those. The road.
Yeah, I mean, first off, you can't cook for yourself. No. So the comedy clubs give you free food, and that's normally bar food and fries and chicken tenders and burgers. And then you do the shows, which is more tiring than it sounds like, because it's 4 hours of getting that mental prep to go perform. Then you go perform. Then you talk to the fans. Then you sell your T-shirts. Then you do another show, because 2 shows a night. You do that. By the time you're done with the night, it's 1 a.m. So there's no at the 1 a.m.
Nothing's there.
Closing pretty much. You're not really going out. You're lonely. You're on the road. All there is, you want to unwind a little bit. So all there is to do is go eat.
That's it. And what else? What do you get? You get your fucking, you get burgers in a suitcase, you know, White Castle's open.
Yeah. 1 a.m. You don't get a bag of carrots. You get whatever you get.
You get a suitcase full of burgers, tiny little burgers in a suitcase.
Right. And then I don't exercise. That's what I need to be doing. I need to be waking up and going to the gym there. But tough.
How old are you?
29.
All right. I'm 28. Yeah. It's we're at this point now. I don't know if you notice, but I notice it's like, all that cool shit from when we were young, it doesn't fucking exist anymore. And your body's just slowly starting to fight back against you. Yeah. And it's like before.
Your body notices it more if you treat it like shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you notice it more. You're standing in the mirror. I you know, there's been times where I've in denial that I'm 5'7", right? And that I got up to like 210. And
okay, you're a big boy.
Well, I was a big boy. I slimmed down a lot. I got all the way down to 155. So that was
okay. Good.
Whatever the fuck that was a lot of weight. But I remember at my biggest, like standing in the mirror and like being in denial, like looking at my body, and there's like these shiny dark creases under my tits. And I'm like, yeah, man, I feel like if I just got rid of those creases, like I'd be solid. Little did I know I was fucking whatever that is, 50 pounds off the mark, 55 pounds off the mark. And but it's weird because you just get into this place where
you're used to it.
You're used to it because it's a slow transformation. Yeah. You know, everything happens gradually. It's like,
you wake up and you look in the mirror and you go, I'm fat.
Fucking fat. You know what got me out of it was my friends just shitting on me, just going, hey, dude, you're fucking huge. That turned the whole thing around for me, because before that, like I said, I'd be looking in the mirror going, it's just like weird shiny marks under the, but if I got rid of that, I'd be good. And then one day somebody sent me a picture of me with 2 hot dogs. One was half eaten and the other one was ready to go. And my arms were huge, dude. Like they covered like half my body. I was like, oh my God. And my mouth is all open and I'm eating this fucking hot dog.
Yeah, you're just like a fat pig.
Oh, and it's weird because I look at that dude every day in the mirror, but I don't see that dude. But as soon as I see it in a picture, you know, it switches the whole game up. But yeah, man, I don't know how I'd fare if I was on the road. Fuck. I feel like.
And then every time you do it, you go home and you look at the mirror and you go, at least for me, I go, all right, tomorrow, the diet starts tomorrow. I'm doing push-ups.
Right.
Workout, I'm going to eat healthy. And then you get those cravings kick in. You go, well, I haven't eaten in a while. I could eat fries.
Just
I could
eat some fries. Yeah. They're just potatoes, dude. They're fucking potatoes. Cream.
Yeah.
That's dairy. Yeah. That's all that is.
Cycle repeats.
What's your thing? Is it sweets or is it salties? You're out there on the road eating burgers and shit.
I like fried foods. I like pizza. Carbs. Yeah. My thing is just carbs.
Yeah, that's a big one for me. Carbs are, it's crazy because I went like most of my life not knowing that that bread makes you fat.
Yeah, me too.
I just learned that. I learned that from like fucking Rogan a few years back. I was like, dude, are you kidding me? My whole life I've been like, yeah, if I just cut out the chocolate and shit, I could just keep eating all this bread on these sandwiches. I can't even have fucking bread now.
No, bread's the worst.
That's a terrible thing. What about road hoes? Are you fighting off road hoes out there? Are they swarming you?
No. I'd say that's a common myth of comedy. Unless you're Chris D'Elia, you're not getting girls throwing themselves at you. I mean, once in a while. I'm not going to say I've never gotten a girl on the road, but it's not like, oh, who am I going to pick tonight?
You don't have to hit them. They don't have to, like, with a stick or maybe kick them to kind of get them off.
No, every time I get laid, it still feels, in life, not just the road. Every time I get laid, I still feel like I'm getting lucky.
Nice. Well, that's a good thing. That keeps you, that's a good perspective.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking for true love, but
it's beautiful.
Whatever I can get.
Whatever happens.
Whatever happens on the road, you know, you're not going to find true love on the road because when it's hard on the road too because you're leaving shortly after. They know you're leaving shortly after. You'll live far away. So there's not a real relationship that's going to start from it.
You couldn't Instagram DM them, keep it up, keep the romance up.
I mean, if you want to do a long distance relationship with a girl who saw you perform, who doesn't even know you, you know, these girls, they see you go up for 20 minutes and say all the funniest things that you know how to say. And they go, wow, that guy's so funny. And then they talk to you off stage and I'm not quite as funny.
You don't have a second set prepared for fucking social interactions.
Yeah, just me, just regular guy. And then they're like, you know, sometimes
where's the rest of it? Fine. Where's all the
sometimes
funny?
Disappointed, but they think they know you. You get off the stage and they feel like they know you, but they don't really know you. Yeah, I see it happen to Theo and Rogan and all these bigger guys too. They have these fans that listen to their podcast.
Right.
They listen to them talk for hundreds of hours and they walk up to them like they're friends because but to those guys they're like, who are you, man?
It is a bizarre thing because, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, although recently I've slowed down a lot, but you do feel like you know them to some extent because you're listening to them talk, but it's not a two-way street. They don't know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're running up on them getting ready to have this conversation. I think with Joe, it's one thing because there's so much content and he talks for so long, you get a pretty good feel for who he is. But when I see Theo, I'm like, I don't know if that is that. Does he ever turn that off? Is that fucking Theo?
That's him, dude.
Damn, that's beautiful.
I mean, you know, there's no one's quite the same on a podcast as they are in real life, but it's him overall. I mean, it's not a fake person up there. That's really Theo.
I think on a podcast, it wouldn't work if that was a fake person because we're going to do. He's doing that show for an hour and a half, whatever it is, 2 hours if he's got a guess. And to fucking fake it for that long, there's going to be holes in your game. You know, people are going to see through that. And it wouldn't work. He wouldn't be as successful
as he is. You can't keep up a character forever.
No, dude.
Yeah, no, that's Theo. And he's a nice guy. He's a goofy guy. He's a strange guy. He's a funny guy.
Those are the best people, though. I don't fucking, you know, there's a lot of normal people. They're fun. It's cool. Yeah. But every once in a while, you find somebody who's genuinely just a little bit fucking different. You know, good for that guy. But that's kind of the thing that it seems like, not necessarily so much anymore, but in the past, a lot of comedians would fall into that character, you know, being a caricature of yourself. And then next thing you know, like I hear Larry the Cable Guy is a totally fucking normal dude. You know what I heard recently? I heard Gilbert Gottfried talking on somebody's answering machine, like in the 90s. It fucking broke my heart. It was the strangest thing. Like, they played Iago from Aladdin, and he's doing the voice. And then all of a sudden, they go, we have Gilbert Godfrey here. This is a recording on somebody's answer machine that he left. And I shit you not, it's like, hey, Kevin, I just wanted to know how we're looking for Thursday. You know, my schedule's a little bit tight, and I might be running a little bit late. But as long as you're fine with that, I'll be there. And
Gilbert.
Oh, my God.
Could you tell it's him, though?
No, not even a little bit. I couldn't. Weird. I was blown away. But my whole life, I figured he's stretching it. You know what I mean? He's stretching it. He's being a little bit more animated. But I thought it's got to be pretty damn close. Dude,
yeah,
not at
overall, that stuff usually is not my brand of comedy when someone's doing a character up there. But there are exceptions to that rule. I'm a fan of Gilbert Godfrey, which I didn't know was a character until just now. Because I don't know.
I love that guy. He's so funny.
Sebastian Maniscalco. You know,
right.
He does the little thing on stage, but he's amazing. And I would say, who else? Oh, Andrew Dice Clay. I'm a fan of.
Of course.
That's definitely a character.
Dice Clay is completely. It seems like that's. I don't think that's a fucking character anymore.
He's kind of become that character.
Yeah.
And acts like that offstage, but like, I don't know. He is a character. Maybe that's it.
It's just like a fucking split personality thing. But, you know, I mentioned how I haven't really been watching a lot of podcasts, and I read somewhere that you don't, you're not necessarily very much into watching stand up. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I used to be. Before I did it, I watch comedy movies were my favorite. I love comedy TV shows. I love stand-up. I love comedy as a whole. But once you kind of make it your life, and I'm at the comedy club every night, and I was a door guy, and at a comedy club. Actually, I was door guy at several comedy clubs. And so you listen to so much stand-up, and you do so many open mics that kind of then when you have some free time, the last thing you want to do is
right.
Comedy, that's what you do.
It's
for work. Yeah. So you know, I still love comedy, but yeah, it is work. So when I have free time, that's not what I want to do.
It's interesting because I that makes a ton of sense. But I was going somewhere else. My train of thought was, you know, the reason I don't watch as many podcasts as I used to is because the people that I admire, it bleeds through into my own personality and my mannerisms and things like that. Like there was episodes where I was fucking like, I had a cadence like Theo, like I could feel myself trying to emulate him, you know, and I would have to catch myself. Or the same thing with D'Elia. If I would do solo episodes, I would catch myself like getting animated. And I know you emulate the people that you admire, but I actually stopped watching or listening to a lot of podcasts for that reason. Cause I felt it bleeding through. So I thought maybe,
That might happen a little bit to me too without me realizing it, but that's not where my mindset was at. That's not why I don't like watching comedy. And also, it's like, I don't know. I have enough friends that would be like, hey, you sound like this guy. And I'd be like, oh shit. And I'd have to stop. And then somebody's always got you there. Yeah. If like, for example, this maybe happened to me twice in the 8 years I've been doing comedy, but I'll do a joke. And someone will be like, hey, you know, there's this other comedian that does a joke that's similar to that joke. Because that just happens. We're all,
of course,
you know, thinking of shit. But I can confidently say, oh, well, it was parallel thinking because I don't even watch. I've never even watched them do stand up.
There you go. So that happens, parallel thinking thing. There's a line between. Sure, there's people out there that would do it verbatim, but I think you can see where a thought would head down a specific path and lead to, you know, that type of joke. So parallel thinking, it has to happen. It's impossible to not.
Usually if someone has the same joke as me, I go, okay, well, I won't do it anymore because I'll just come up with another joke. Or I'll think to myself, okay, well, it's a little hacky then if we're both doing the same joke. Or if they're a really good comedian and they're doing it, I go, sweet. I thought the same joke as that comic. That's tight.
Fuck yeah. That's a good way of looking at it. Well, that's, it's also a good way to look at it. Like, I'll just drop it and do something else, because I think it's a worse look to like fucking rear up and reach out and claw that joke to you and get defensive and like, this is fucking mine. Like, it almost feels like, what are you unable to create something else? Not to say.
Yeah, but I,
but
you
it
know,
gives you that feeling.
I think you're absolutely right. But I could also, like, man, like, sometimes I'm on the road and I have to do 25 minutes. And, man, I couldn't imagine if you took two right now, just if you took out my best two jokes, I'd be like, shit, it's gonna hurt my act. It'd be hard to give it up, but you'd have to, I guess. You just got to move on, keep writing.
You're doing this full time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When did that start?
Comedy full time started for me fairly early. I'd say maybe 2 years in. But just stand up full time just happened the last year. I just started. I was always like kind of a few people's backup opening act or feature act. Like, I would go with Pauly Shore a couple times a year. Michael Costa would bring me once in a while. I went out with Santino once, Theo once, like those people's, Fahim, Tony Hinchcliffe, a lot of people would throw me a bone.
Right. Like,
but just this year is when I'm now like Theo and Santino, I'm their main guy. Who knows if that'll last, but that just happened. So now I'm going out. Whenever Theo goes out, I pretty much go out. Or if Santino goes out and I want to go out with him, I can go out. So now it's gone from a weekend every 2 months to I've gone out 10 out of the last 12 weeks on the road.
When
and part
what was
of
it
that
like
is,
when you
part of on. That is because you know, we've gotten to be better friends and they've seen me do more comedy, but then part of that is also they've grown in their careers to the point where they will bring an opener with them, whereas before they weren't making as much money on the road. It didn't make as much financial sense to bring someone, or a lot of the clubs would book their own features. But now it's like Theo's selling out every show. He's doing theaters sometimes. He runs the show. You know, he brings who he wants to bring.
Those two, Andrew and Theo, are just, they're crushing it right now. You know, especially ever since you're behind the production of Whiskey Ginger, right?
I helped him get it going. And, you know, Theo has a producer, Nick, who's great. But both those guys, you know, I'm a tech nerd. So when they're like, hey, I want to start a podcast, I'd go, okay, well, here's what you buy. Here's the
right
thing you buy. Here's the host. You know, I would point them in the right direction. So both those guys, you know, pretty much do it on their own. But if they have a question, not as much Theo anymore. Theo has his own team now. But in the beginning, and now with Andrew Santino, if they have a question, hey, how do I go about getting a sponsor, or what do you think about this as my podcast host, or what do you think about this microphone or this recorder, then I go, yeah, get that.
To me it's crazy. I think especially with Andrew, how successful his podcast has become. It's a great show. He's a great host of that show, you know what I mean? It's to me it seems like such a great pairing for comedians and podcasters right now. Like, to be a comedian and have a podcast, it just seems like, creatively, just to kind of stretch your shit out a little bit, you know what I mean, and also find your fan base.
Yeah, to be able something to do. It's a way to get a fan base. It's a way to connect to people. It's a way to help out your friends, to have them on your podcast.
Right.
It's a way to develop that interview muscle and that being a guest muscle. So yeah, it's just kind of fun, because stand up, you know, is great, but it could get boring. You can get tired of doing the same jokes. You get tired of doing the same thing. It's fun to mix it up. And, you know, every comedian wants to be a movie star, probably deep down, and do a little acting. But, you know, it's a competitive field. Anybody could do a podcast. It's kind of like stand up. If you can write a joke, you can go up on stage and tell it. If you can buy a microphone, you can make a podcast these days.
That's it. Yeah. When I started, I've been wanting to do a show for a number of years, and I'm just the world's greatest procrastinator. And also, as far as like trying to sit down and read about how to do it, I just can't for more than a few seconds. It drives me insane. And so the tech side of it, I'm like completely out. And one day I just dropped my phone on the table, hit voice record, and started putting out episodes like that. And slowly but surely, I got a little bit of a setup. But yeah, it is crazy. Anybody could do it. Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, there's nothing that stops you.
Now there's a host. Before, you at least, there was a little, some, you know, as sad as it is, a lot of comedians are so poor, the $15 a month for hosting would scare them away. Now there's free hosting.
Right.
Before, 5 years ago, the cheapest decent microphone was $100. Now you can get a decent microphone for $20. So it's like, literally, yeah, $20.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. You're Anybody rolling, could do know. It.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. But now, because of that, now you have to do other things to separate yourself. Now you have to add video to it. Now you have to have bigger guests. Now you have to have segments of the show. So, you know, it's still like, now everyone has a podcast, but how many podcasts get 40 listeners an episode? How many podcasts?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it is. I think the other thing that it helps you do too, though, is, you know, a lot of my humor and a lot of the things that I was interested in weren't really, they didn't translate to like the average person that I met on the street. You know what I mean? A lot of my friends that didn't listen to shows or weren't into the comedians that I was into, a lot of that just didn't translate. And then, I mean, the one thing that I'm happy about, you know, it kind of speaks to who put me in touch with you, our mutual friend, Andrew Baxter of Bleach Media. It helped me to find people that I fucking liked, that we had a lot of things in common that were fun to talk to. So it helped to build a community. And I think, you know, in that way, it was worth it alone just to be able to find, you know, like you're doing comedy and I'm sure you love going out on the road with these guys. A lot of these people are some of your really good friends. And to me, that's a cool thing. That's almost enough, you know, except for the fact that you need to sustain yourself and you need the money to pay for things. But, you know, what's the money if you don't have a community?
Sure. No, I mean, having an audience, having friends, it makes a big difference. And Andrew, I've known probably 6 years or so now. I met him at a show in the east side of L.A. He came to the show. It was his friend producing it. And he had seen that I make like little videos on YouTube. And I guess he liked them. And him and Cole came out and I met them. And then we just started working together, making little goofy videos. So I've known him, basically since I started. And I've gotten to, because, you know, I don't want to take credit for this, but all the comedians that he's gotten to work with is people who I've introduced him to, which
there
is
you
cool
go.
because he's so good at what he does. So if someone says to me, hey, who do you use to edit your videos? I go, Andrew. Who do you use to shoot your videos? Bleach Media, Andrew Baxter. He's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just push him out there.
Well, that's the thing is, you could be really good at a thing, but without building relationships, like it doesn't do you a lot of good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could be great at something, but if you're doing it in a fucking bubble, what good is that? You need to build relationships. That's one of the things that really bums me out. I see a lot of it. I talked about it before, is a lot of podcasters that are trying to come up. What they'll do is they'll get themselves like a co-host. It'll be them and their buddy. And they just interact in that bubble. You know what I mean? And then neither one of them are particularly good at marketing or anything of that nature. And so they're just going back and forth.
Yeah. At that point, it's just kind of for fun because
just echoing.
You know, what are the odds that someone's going to stumble across you and watch you out of nowhere?
Right. Especially, which is a lot of the issue.
You're not a marketing expert and don't have money for advertising. It's like Bill Burr and Chris D'Elia can do it. Sure. But they're famous.
Right.
They already have an audience. If they were 1 year in a comedy doing a solo podcast, not too many people are going to listen.
Right. They're in a position where advertisers are reaching out to them.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're sitting here talking to your buddy and it's cool. You know, it's great to do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But if you've got the notion that you want to get out and have people hear the show, you gotta build relationships, especially if you don't have the money. You got to go. You know, one of the things that I did in the beginning was, and I still do it now, is like, listen to other people's stuff, enjoy other people's product, and then tell them about it. You know, tell them what you liked about it and actually communicate. Because people, that's one of the best things, man. That's what you want out of all of this is feedback. You want to know that somebody enjoys what you do. And when somebody comes to you and they have a genuine conversation about, hey, man, I liked this, that, and the other thing that you did, that's the greatest way. But people don't get that. It's a bummer. I see a lot of people sitting stagnant, and I just wish that was, to me, that's number one. Is be a decent human being and go out and make friends.
I say no one make any friends. I'll make all the friends. Keep them for myself.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
You guys keep doing your your tag team podcast together. Don't bring on any guests. I'll get all the guests.
Just sit there, high five, and talk about how great episode 3 was. And
yeah, there's too many podcasts. You guys keep doing your solo podcasts.
But there is, you know what I want to know? When they say that these numbers are, you know, whatever the numbers of podcasts are out there, how many of them are dead? Do they calculate that? I don't think they do.
Good question. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of podcasts start and stop. I mean, including my own. My podcast started probably 4 years ago, and I was doing one episode every few months until recently.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's kind of at least you've got all these other avenues that you're exploring, and you're doing this thing and the other thing, and you're communicating with people, and you're, you know what I mean? So it's not really the podcast is just, but there's a lot of people like myself where it's like, right now at this point in what I'm doing, this is it. This is the sole focus. And so if I just died here, well, there with my presence in media would die there as well. So, but you know, like you said, keep all the friends, you guys keep doing that and leave all the friends to everybody else.
Yeah.
One of the things that I read that, I don't know why it upset me. And I want to know if you're lying about this. Are you lying about this? Did you fucking skate from Oregon to New York? And
I
then
did.
From Santa Cruz to San Diego?
It was a long time ago, but I did.
Don't lie to me.
I did it in the cross country trip was 2010.
Okay.
And then the
Oregon. You were a young man. You were a young man.
Yeah, I was. I wasn't even 21. I think it was 19 or 20.
Yeah.
I did that cross country trip, and then I did from Santa Cruz to San Diego, right after college, I believe. So I was 20. Yeah, 22.
Jesus Christ! How far was Oregon to New York?
Oregon to New York was over 3,000 miles, but that trip was actually not as hard as the Santa Cruz to San Diego trip, because the Oregon to New York trip, we had a car following us. We were doing it relay style.
Oh, that's
so
what
we
the
had,
fuck?
So it was like five of us skating total.
Yeah.
And we'd each take turns. So we'd do like, I would do 30 miles, then I would get in the car and the next guy would do 30 miles. And we do that like about 150 miles a day, roughly, sometimes more, sometimes less. And we'd skate. We'd still skate all day and be chilling, hanging out. But it was like, you know, we had a car with water. We had a Suburban. We had, you know, I don't know, just like skating 30 miles a day on a longboard isn't that bad. I think I could do that right now. I mean, it would be tiring, but it wouldn't. It's not. It's doable, is all I'm saying. It'd be like running 5 miles a day. It's hard. Not everyone runs 5 miles a day, but you could.
It's true.
Yeah.
Dude, but why?
That's the question, right? Why did I do it? I mean, you know, on paper, you could say I did it to raise money for homeless children in San Diego. But I did.
Okay.
But really, I did it for myself, and I did it just for the adventure.
I get it. It's
trip.
Fucking dope.
Yeah, just a fun trip. But, you know, it sounds dope, but by the end of the trip, we were all at each other's throats.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
We hate
I bet.
Each
Who
other.
The fuck did you get? Number one, all right, I get it. One thing for you to go, I'll get on the board and I'll go. And other people to be like, yeah, I'll do that too. That's kind of a solo endeavor. Who the fuck did you convince to drive behind you? Who was like, yeah, dude, I'll pass you fucking water. I'll drive behind you for
the fat friend, dude. Brian.
Yes.
The fat friend.
Yes.
no. But that was one of the challenges for sure. So like no one knows this anymore either, but I planned that trip 2 or 3 years before I actually did it. Because the first year I planned it, I was going to do it with these people from this longboarding message board on the internet. I found these like-minded people. They're like, I'd do that, right?
Right.
And of course, one by one, as the trip's approaching, people cancel. People chicken out. I can't do it.
It's My terrifying. It's 3,000 miles.
Yeah, I'm not trained. My dad won't let me. I have to work a job. I have to get ready for college. I have to study. What I've just joined this sport. Whatever the excuse was, one by one, they back out. So I go, okay, I can't do it with people off the internet next year. Next summer, because I was in school. So once that summer passed and they canceled, I was like, okay, it's done this year. The next year I said, okay, I'm going to bring friends of mine. So I got five people that are like, I'm down to do it. The same thing happened.
Yeah.
One by one. Hey, I was thinking about it. I can't do it. I have a girlfriend. I'm going to college. My dad won't
teaches you. People just fall through.
Yeah, they're just flaky. And, you know, I get it. It is a
3,000 miles
to do this. It's a it's going to take us a month to do. It's going to cost money. We didn't have, you know, no one was paying for this. So, but this is 2 years in a row now that I have told everyone I was going to do this trip.
Right.
It didn't happen. And it's like my own pride, like, is dumb, you know, not that I did it for other people, but, you know.
You don't like looking like an asshole.
Yeah, I don't like looking like a dipshit. So now for 2 years, I tell people I'm skating across the country in it. And then, of course, you didn't skate across the country. Why would someone skate across the country? So the third year, I mean, I even had the news. The second year it got canceled, there was like, we were on the local news, like on TV.
Oh, dude.
Not that anyone watches it, but like, that's how far along it was. The news came out and did a piece on us, and then we didn't go.
Yeah, but at 20 years old, that's fucking pressure. That's real pressure, dude.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't. Like,
I think that's real. I'd be fucking pressured. I'd be like, holy fucking shit. New Jersey
I was aware
12
enough
just
to
put
know
me on
that,
TV.
That no one watched the news. But still, it's like, it's embarrassing just for like my friends and family.
Right.
So the third year, I said, I need to do this. I said, I'm going to do this even if I can't get anyone. I want to get people to go with. I don't want to do it alone. But right. I was ready to do it alone. If
you're
I'm
done
honest.
Bringing shame to your parents.
I was done
it's time bringing, to bring honor
well, never
to the family name.
In the first place. Yeah. But done bringing shame to myself. So I took a semester off college, or I went to a local community college in San Diego. I took like one or two classes, and I pretty much worked full time, saved up all the money, and I paid for four of my friends to go on the trip. So I paid for the whole thing. I made them, you know, I said, listen, this has been canceled 2 years in a row. Do not tell me you're going to go on this trip if you're going to bail. I need 100% commitment. If you're not 100% committed, do not say you're going to go.
Right.
So I got two of my friends to go. And then those are the only two people I know who would do it. So one of my other friends got two of his friends I didn't even know to go. So it was me, two friends, and then two people I didn't even know. And I paid for us all to go.
But that's how you bond, right? Trauma is how you bond. Did you really bond with those guys? Are they your friends to this day?
The two that I brought with me, I am friends to this day. And then the two people who I didn't know going in, we don't talk.
You just fucking casually wave on Instagram from time to time?
Yeah, it didn't. That friendship didn't work out, but that's okay.
Fuck them anyway. You know, it's a crazy thing. There's like this need sometimes. I talked to a guy once on my show who did the Appalachian Trail. So that's like from Georgia to Maine or something like that. He did the entire thing, and the Appalachian Trail actually runs right by my house. I could walk to the path right now. And I don't know what that is, man. Awesome. It's like this desire to every once in a while, somebody just gets shaken up. Like it sucks, but that's an attractive idea to me. It's just like, fuck it, man.
Yeah,
I'm just
going
to take off. How long was it? How many days? How many months?
It took over a month. It took over a month, and that was, you know, across the country. But like I said, then I did this trip right after college where I went from Santa Cruz to San Diego, and that took 2 weeks. And that was actually, I feel, even though it doesn't sound like it, that was real deal shit, because that we did not have a car following us. We wore backpacks, 30-pound backpacks, and we literally skateboarded from Santa Cruz to San Diego. And half the people who started the trip didn't finish the trip.
Wow. How many people you go with?
I think we started with five, or let me count. No, with me, Joe. Yeah, we start with five. Or no, we start with six and three people finish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there were six people and three people. So half the people, literally half the people didn't make this two.
So you
just
say you started with five and you ended with half a dude?
Yeah.
Like something fucking terrible just happened along the way and you ended up with a torso?
Might as well have. This girl went with us, and she was like a little 100-pound Asian chick. Super cool that she wanted to do it.
She stick it out?
No, but she was tough, dude. Like, she...
Rest in peace, though?
No, she's... I don't talk to her anymore either. Not because we got in a fight. Just, you know, that was 10 years ago almost. But
uh-oh.
But she...
What, you guys got into a fight out there?
No, we didn't get into a fight. Just lost contact. You know, we don't really talk anymore. But wanted to do the trip. She, with all guys, do this longboard trip, which is crazy to begin with.
Right.
She was having some trouble keeping up. She took some gnarly falls.
Certified bad bitch.
And the only reason she stopped is I made her stop.
Oh, damn.
I thought she was still going? She was still going, but, like, dude, she took a gnarly fall. Like, she was missing skin on her legs and arms, and she was...
Jeez, but she still wanted to go.
Every day in the shower, she was crying because the water hurt to touch her skin. Like, I was scared she was going to die, and I was the organizer of the trip, and I didn't want that on my conscience. And to be honest, you know, unfortunately, this men versus women thing still exists in the world.
Right.
And I think part of the reason she was still, I don't want to speak for her, but I think part of the reason that she was wanted to do it so bad at the end is because she didn't want to be the girl.
She
wanted to be the girl to cancel out. But as soon as she stopped, the two guys followed her right after because they just didn't want to stop before the girl.
Ah, and they're also looking for somebody else. She moved on to be champion of the flyweight division of the UFC. So, you know, what are you going to do? You take your losses, but you move on.
She could be. I'm sure that chick could do anything she wants. She is a tough chick.
That's amazing, man. I've always wanted to do something like that. You know, like I like the idea of walking across the country or something, some Forrest Gump type shit. But, you know, like you said, you paid for everybody. What is that per person? You know, the original one. Let's talk the original one. Oregon to New York. What does that cost?
The original one. So there was gas.
Right.
6,000
Right, because you're paying for the dude to trail behind you.
Chevy Suburban. Which is a gas guzzler. So that gets like the biggest SUV in production. So
you tell that motherfucker to drive a Honda Odyssey.
Yeah, but it had to carry us and all our shit. So right, we needed a big SUV. So let's say that got 11 miles a gallon. I don't even remember at this point, but let's say that's $2,000. Then
jeez.
Another couple thousand in food and other things that you just don't foresee. So let's say all in all, I don't know, $6,000. That's just a guess. I don't remember how much it costs, equipment, all that.
It's disgusting.
But, and $6,000 to some of you is like, well, you know, that's a lot of money, but it's not crazy money. I'll tell you what, it is to a 19-year-old.
Dude, yeah, I'm thinking about that right now. It's making me sweat. I see those longboards on your wall. You ever doing it again? What's up, bro?
I would like to. I have this fantasy of starting a year-long. A yearly weekend skate from Los Angeles to San Diego to raise money for charity.
That's dope.
It would just be like a weekend version of the trip. And I'll do
But what about day. Terrain?
What do you mean?
Like, I have a couple of longboards in the garage right over here. And I lived in a small town, and there was only like one fucking hill in the small town. And didn't matter, man. I was really good. I rode it every day. I rode it literally as transportation, you know, when I was younger to and from jobs and things like that. And I was going down this hill one day, and I had been down that hill a bunch of times, but for some reason, I just got overly confident and got hit with the speed wobbles, like right at the bottom of it. And I bailed off the board.
Yeah.
I've got a backpack on, so I land on my back, and the backpack is, you know, it's made of whatever. It's pretty smooth. And so it just slid me all the way into the main road, into oncoming traffic, and everybody stopped, and I was fine. But, you know, that was a fucking leisurely stroll through my
town.
You
what.
Don't go 3,000 miles down eating shit.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, we definitely all ate shit a few times, but you got to be cautious. I mean, if I'm at the top of a hill and I can't see the bottom, I'm walking down the hill.
Fuck yeah. I still got shit floating in my elbow. Right now I can feel it. I'm moving it around or shit floating in my elbow from smashing against the ground on a longboard.
Yeah, if the hill's too steep, I'm walking up the hill.
Right.
You know, so when I say I skate across the country, I did, but or across the state as well. I did skate across the state, but that doesn't mean literally every foot of it. If there's a giant hill, I'm not dying.
You're not taking unnecessary risks.
There's some places where it's like if I had tried skating, I would have died. Like there's you there's a big steep hill, and then at the bottom there's a 90 degree turn and there's a cliff.
Right.
So it's like, right. There's no way.
But every time you stop, vroom, there goes a 90-pound Asian chick.
And there's cars. Yeah.
Just shredding it right by you. Just,
well, that's,
pussy, and she's just going. That,
well, no. So she, unfortunately, wasn't as fast as us. So there's this one day. This is kind of was the day where I was like, I got to send her home. We're all skating, and we're a few miles ahead of her. And I know what you're thinking. Like, why didn't you guys wait for her?
Right.
I don't know, man. It's like it's tough when you're in it and you want to finish the trip. It's like if you wait for the weakest link, that weakest link would have taken a lot longer, and we didn't have a lot longer.
Right, right. I get it. So,
anyway, we're a few miles ahead and we get to this hill and we can't see the bottom, so we pick up our boards and we start walking down.
Oh,
and
it was really steep.
It was a steep hill, and we were halfway to the bottom, and we're like, good thing we, you know, it was the right decision. There was, like I said, there was like a big turn at the end, and you would have.
Right, not eaten shit for this, yeah.
Yeah, not eating shit. No professional longboarder could have skated down this hill. It was too narrow, there's too many cars. It would have been very stupid to do.
Right.
All of a sudden, we see this girl skating by, and I don't know if she's in the zone from being behind. I don't know if she's just trying to catch up to us. I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know. Maybe she's
got those headphones on, man. Anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah.
I can do anything. She's just fucking bombing.
So yeah, we see her flying down this hill past us. and I look over at her, and I have this horrified look on my face.
Dude.
Like, I know she's not is a better skater than me, and if I can't,
you're gonna have to pick her pieces up.
Yeah, I literally was like, holy shit, this chick's about to die. Like, that's genuinely what I was thinking as she's skating down. And then she looks at me, and I think the look on my face made her realize, what am I doing?
Then,
like, I fucked her up with my look on my face. I mean, she would have
just went
fucking, she would have been fucked up. She would have been fucked up either way.
There's no way.
But this hill was crazy. And then she sees that she's going down this hill, and she sees at the end there's death. So she jumps off the board.
Oh, and then your fucking
feet go probably going 30 miles an hour, 35. I don't know. She's going.
How many steps did she get in?
I don't know how many steps she got in, but I can tell you she's on the floor. I literally, in my head, is like, she just knocked herself out. Like, she's going to be unconscious.
Sliding on her chin.
I literally had my phone out, like, call the cops. I'm calling Christ. And we walk over there, and she's conscious, and she's crying, but she's fine. And we bandaged her up, and we kept moving. But that was, I think, was the end of that day.
How do you send her home? What is one of the drivers just, or you call her fucking, there's no Uber back then.
There's no Uber back then. It was in the middle of California. I think her friend came and got her. So it was like 5-hour drive from where we started or something.
What a gangster, though. It's a shame you don't talk. She's probably doing something fucking awesome.
She probably is. Yeah. We didn't have a bad falling out or anything. It was just, 10 years.
So she got out of there, though, before all the bad blood starts happening. Before
well, this was
pissed off with each other because this one was short.
There was no bad blood.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
The cross country one, I think it was just five dudes. We didn't know each other that well, locked in a car together.
And also, you were going to New York, and there's all that fun. You just cross into that state, there's all that heat. California is nice, right? People are happier over there.
California is nice. We were all friends before we went on the trip. And because there was no car that we were in, it was just us on the road. If we wanted our space, we got a full day skating of space. You know,
by the end of the day, you're
so exhausted that there's no effort to fight. We get to the hotel or to the campground and we crash.
I'm like 5 minutes. I'm not even five. I'm maybe 3 minutes away from the New York border, and I can't even cross over that border without going, what the fuck? Yeah.
I was in Atlantic City a while back.
Yeah. One of my buddies just saw you yesterday or the day before, part of a group called the CCC. And he goes by this handle called Memes of Reality. But they're all these killers that make all these fucking hilarious memes and all these edits. They make tons of shit for Theo, tons of shit for everybody, the fighter and the kid. And
you know, Rogan, where did he see me, San Jose, or you don't know?
I'm not sure. I know he sent the picture and everything. Cool. And he told me to say what's up, but you know, I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna say Memes of Reality says what's up. So there you go.
Reality, I'll look out.
Memes of Reality. He's a fucking man. Yeah, man, it's a cool group. They make a bunch of dope shit. But yeah, it's a crazy thing to do something like that. How do you, when you go longboarding, are you wearing those gloves with the things on your palms to fucking?
Not for those trips, because I didn't. I wanted to be light. I had them in my backpack.
But you could do that.
Yeah. Uh huh. It's not too hard.
Well, that kind of aerodynamic bit, right, where you stagger step, like one foot's in front, the other foot's in the back, and you kind of kneel down and you throw your arms behind you like an anime character.
You're talking about, I know what you're saying. Yeah, like the racing. No, we didn't do much of that on this trip, but I could do it.
Have you ever done that? Dude,
yeah.
That's terrifying.
That's what I think got me into it initially.
That's where you eat the most shit.
No, I don't think that's true, because those boards, I mean, that's where
if I do that right now, you
hurt yourself the most. But when you're doing that type of longboard and you have very tight trucks and you don't really get speed wobbles, that becomes less
of an issue. Oh, that's interesting. So it's actually like a mechanical relation to why it happens, the speed wobble. I've gotten it and eaten shit.
So speed wobbles happen from essentially either your trucks being too loose or you're losing balance, one of the two. So if you have harder, and there's also, I mean, we're getting a really technical longboarding talk here, but there's bushings in the truck, which is those little, they're made out of urethane, which is similar material to what the longboard wheels are made out of.
Right.
And that's in between the two pieces of the truck. Now, if you have harder bushings, the truck isn't going to move as much. And if you have softer bushings, it'll move a lot more. And depending on the style of riding you're doing, when I'm around town, I like a soft bushing because I like to turn really sharp.
And yeah,
carve and whatnot, but that causes, then if you go down a steep hill with soft bushings, you'll get wobbles.
Okay, so when I did it,
so if you know you're going down a lot of hills, or if you're traveling across the country and you're just going to be pushing straight, you want to use a hard bushing, that way your board isn't moving a whole lot,
right? Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. But when I fell down that hill, my board that I have, I think it's called a pintail. Like the shape of it is like, it looks like a big surfboard, and it's got really soft bushings because I like that kind of wavy, like sweeping motion and everything. And it's very fun. I went down that big ass hill on that, ate a bunch of dick, slid into traffic. So that makes that's fucking funny. You taught me something.
There you go. Now you know what to do if you want to take that down that hill again.
Yeah. Yeah. Tighten them up a little bit. It seems like when you, it seems like by 20 years old, you know, you were taking some pretty interesting risks, you know, going on big adventures. You know, you look at you now, you're doing stand up and everything. You've got your hands in a bunch of different kind of creative paths. It seems like you made a lot of videos that got really big as well on YouTube. And it just seems like, you know, it makes me curious, like, what was your childhood like that you were so as far as risks go, it seems like you're not very.
I don't know where it came from. I mean, I went to a military school, so that's kind of interesting. A military high school.
Roswell, right?
In Roswell. So that's that was a unique, maybe like the first thing I feel like I did that was maybe not the norm for a
child.
Was
that fucking creepy? Where you're like, I went to middle school, and I'm like, yeah, Roswell, right, bro?
Oh, well, you know, I'm out there on the internet. I've talked about it. I'm an open book. But yeah, so there was that. That kind of made myself a little weird. But yeah, I've always just, I don't know, maybe I like attention. Maybe I like to be different. But I think I just, you know, I always like to do something that separates myself, that makes me feel good and, you know, accomplish things. So whether that be military school or skateboarding across the country or their state or climbing Kilimanjaro or doing.
Climb fucking Kilimanjaro?
I did that a few years back. So it's like, I just like, yeah, I like setting challenges.
Right.
And achieving them because it makes you feel good about yourself, I guess.
Accomplishment, of course. Accomplishment.
That high.
Absolutely. Well, it's you know, setting goals and accomplishing goals is definitely one of the most satisfying things.
I've never been into drugs or alcohol that much, and I think that is that's where I get high from, is accomplishing things or doing a great set of stand-up and getting laughs.
Which, arguably not safer because you're bombing down fucking hills on longboards and watching little Asian chicks fucking disappear into the ether.
It's a different kind of dangerous, I guess.
Right.
One eats away at
more
your brain.
Immediate, yeah.
Eats away at your body.
Well, the other one also creates fucking depression and a sense of, a lack of achievement, a lack of identity and things of that nature. You know, you don't feel like you have any worth. I definitely found that, most of my life I didn't spend chasing much of anything. And then I got into martial arts and I started to understand the value of, achieving goals and things like that. And it is something that's, I don't want to say it's underrated. Maybe it's just like under stress. Like I wish more people knew, like setting goals for yourself and especially in creative paths and then like reaching them. That's one of the most satisfying fucking things.
And it's satisfying. And it also makes everything else feel less important and easier to manage. Right. When you have a stressful day, I'm like, it's okay. I've had worse days.
What did your parents do for a living?
My dad's a doctor. My mom's a lawyer. So they're.
And you were like, I'm going to be a fucking stand up.
Yeah, they're not the happiest with my life, with most of my life choices, but they've also kind of accepted it as well.
Right. But you're right there involved with things that are, if you're not looking at podcasts, I guess it's easy to go around with blinders on and not see it. But like, to me, it's not necessarily a new medium. It's been around for a little while now, but I think it's going to become
a bigger thing,
a huge thing, man. And, those established names that are in it right now, they're setting the groundwork for a medium that's going to be massive.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I hope so. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say, podcast is in its infancy. And I could see that. Yeah, I agree as well. But only time will really tell. I remember I was listening to podcasts before any comedian had a podcast. I used to listen to This Week in Tech, it was called, from Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And when podcasts first started, it was such a niche thing that the only people doing it were tech nerds.
So when you see people flocking to it now, are you like, you fucking dweebs? I was in this shit years before
you were.
No, it's
cool that people are flocking to it now. I think it's cool, but like most people don't realize how long it has been around and where it started. I remember.
When do you think that year? What year was that?
Shit, I don't know. I could tell you when I started listening was probably like 2004 or something.
Whoa, I had no idea. No idea. I thought you were going to say something like, 2009 maybe. I still would have been surprised.
Oh, yeah. I was in high school and I was listening to This Week in Tech. And then I think HBO had a podcast where they just released stand up. Little clips of stand up. And I remember hearing Aziz Ansari on there and Louis C.K. I got into them a little bit. That's how I first heard. I heard of Louis C.K. That's where I first heard of him, was from a little clip on HBO stand up on iTunes.
I had no idea. I had no idea. Look, you've got visitors in the back.
How are you guys?
Yeah, I had no idea that that it had been going on for that long. That actually blows my mind. But it just seems like one of those things where it's like doctors. What did you say, lawyer?
Yeah, my mom's a lawyer.
Jesus Christ! Does it get fucking more? Does it get higher than a doctor and a lawyer? That's the most. That's a fucking story. That's a movie. Mom and dad were a doctor and a lawyer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Religious?
No. No one's
so,
religious.
So no religion growing up?
I mean, like, I'm Jewish, but we never followed religion or anything. We never, there was never any religious pressures or anything like that.
So what was it? Were they overly supportive about the idea of, like, find what satisfies you and go that way?
They were not supportive of what I wanted to do at all. They they were very supportive of education.
Right.
So I think even to this day, if I told them, hey, I want to go to graduate school or something, they would pay for it.
Oh, wow.
And they would support me doing that.
Right.
But that's about it. They support education and getting a job. When I told them I want to do a comedy, they said, you know, you could try it, but you still need to get a job. You need to think about your career. And even now, I think I was talking to my dad a year ago, no less than a year ago, a few months ago. And I think he made a comment. He was like, you ever thought about, you know, managing a comedy club? You've worked at a lot of them. You've performed at a lot of them. You probably have a pretty good idea of how they run. You'd probably be a pretty good manager. That's what he said. And I said, no.
What's that business mindset? But, you know, hey, how many of these big, big name comedians, one of the common things that I hear is like that it's, you know, more or less a leap of faith in a lot of ways.
It is. Yeah, it has to be because you can't do it part time and get anywhere in it. You're just, it's not going to happen. I mean, you know, there's exceptions to every rule. I'm sure there is a comedian that did it part time and got successful. But generally speaking,
don't put your eggs in almost that basket.
In almost anything. If you want to be a professional YouTuber, you got to make a YouTube video every day.
Every day.
If you want whatever you want to do, you got to do it every day. You want to be a bodybuilder, work out every day.
What about like musical taste growing up?
I'm from San Diego, so I liked Blink-182 and punk rock and
a lot of
those local San Diego bands.
Did that bleed into it? Was that it? You know what I mean? That
punk rock
made me not want... message of fucking go against the man and.
I don't know. That's a tough question. I always hated school. I had a little bit of ADD. I wasn't good at focusing. I never wanted to do homework. I really liked sports growing up. You know, when I was too young to know that I had no chance in sports. I really love sports. So that was always my focus.
That the whole schooling thing was the same with me. It's like this idea of go to a place for, you know, 7 hours a day and just sit there and listen, sit there and write was like worse. I enjoyed science because science, you know, there was a lot of interaction. There was experiments, things that you, you know, they split you up into groups. You'd get to sit there. You'd have equipment that you got to work with and things of that nature. But outside of that, you know, pretty much everything else was just sit there and write, read this and write, read this and write. And it was like, dude,
a lot of it is, I'm all about practicality too. So it's like when I'm learning how to do algebra, I'm like, when am I going to use this?
Right.
When am I using algebra?
Right.
And if I'm being honest with myself, I don't use algebra. I don't know the last time that I used algebra in my life.
Right.
When it wasn't for school.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
I'm not saying you don't, but I don't. So.
I have a strong aversion to the idea of homework. It's like I said, 7 hours a day. That's nearly a 40-hour work week. And you're sending them home with extra shit. And it's like, to me, I don't know. I had a pretty cool childhood where it was very much like the Goonies. Like I had a gang of friends and I lived in a small town. And we were on our bikes every day and we were just exploring like the little nooks and crannies, the places where the adults didn't go, you know, some abandoned house or something weird like that, or like some area in the woods. We'd build a fort and we'd go there and, you know, do hood rat shit. And to me, it was hood like there's shit. Yeah, there's so like much
video,
value in that
little black kid. Remember
that little
video?
Black kid doing hood rat shit. Yeah, man.
I want to go out, do a hood rat show with all my friends.
That's it. I think there's value in that, man. There's something about letting a kid off the hook and putting them in situations and just let them figure it the fuck out. There's more value in learning how to navigate all these different characters that you're going to come into contact with and all these different things than there is in sitting down and doing your algebra homework, I think, you know, personally. And I get it, you know, they go, oh, you want to prepare them for the work world or you want to prepare them for taking care of responsibilities at home, you know, beyond having a teacher tell them to. But fuck all that, man. I just think it's you strap these kids with 30-pound backpacks, you send them home and have them flipping through textbooks. Like, no, go out into the world, do some hood rat shit.
And I mean, things have changed so much with the internet now, too. It's like the education system just feels outdated to me. The things I learned in school, it's like, most of it isn't useful. I've learned most of my life skills off of Googling shit and YouTubing it and learning from people, just living life. I don't know. I don't know what the future of the world is, but I don't. You know, it's part of the reason I'm getting tons of shit on my on that video the Laugh Factory posted. It's like it's me bashing teachers and saying I don't think they should be paid more. And it's like I don't really. It's more of a joke. I don't.
Well, it's a nuanced subject
and all that. I'm not an expert on that subject, but it's like I don't like the education system for the most part.
Right.
And I do think that. I don't know what the answer is for kids these days, but because you can't just send a kid off to the world, but maybe you should. Maybe they need to go to trade schools.
Yeah, that's more of a, I know that's down. There's a necessity. There's a need for kids or people with trades right now. There's like a massive deficit. But, you know, I know that there's this guy running for presidency, Andrew Yang, and he's saying shit like in 3 years, 30% of all malls and retail stores are gearing up to close in America because technology is just outsourcing shit. Yeah, dude, yeah. Amazon's killing the game.
Dude, I got an Amazon Prime box in right here.
That's yeah, bro, that one click is a problem. That overnight, that's a problem.
If I'm having a bad day, I just go to my Amazon wish list and buy myself something.
And when you show up and it's just sitting there waiting for you, oh, man, it's like Christmas, like a little tiny Christmas. Oh, man, yeah, it's fun. But I think that's, you know, manufacturing. You know, they say they want people with trades, but that's all going to be gone soon. You know what kind of gets me is like, shit. The only thing that you can't really automate is like entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, but without that.
No, not really, though.
Yeah. It would be a dry, shitty version of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't really automate entertainment. Yeah. It's interesting to think about.
You're a reptile guy? Are you into reptiles?
Oh yeah. Well, for me, I mean, I've always had reptiles growing up as kids. My dad would get me like a lizard and fish, and I had frogs around the house and stuff like that. But I would catch them and try and take care of them. But for me, I'm on the road so much that I love dogs too. I love dogs. I mean, a dog is something that you could actually love and pet and
right.
Make happy and. You know, it's a much more enjoyable animal to play with, but I can't have a dog because I leave town too much. I live in an apartment.
Right.
It'd be mean to get a dog, but a reptile I could keep and look at. They're very fascinating to look at. They're
just a nice bearded animals. Dragon.
I feed it once a week. I have a snake.
That's it.
I have a snake and a scorpion right now.
What kind of snake?
It's called a Western hognose snake.
Yeah, I know hognoses. My mother breeds boas, and she's also got some hognoses. My mother, yeah, she's a
Your
gangster.
Your mom's a snake breeder?
Yeah, man. A pretty good one, too.
What she does for her work?
It's not what she does for her work, but those things, she's got a lot of, I think they call them morphs. And so some morphs are more valuable than other morphs, and she breeds them. And so, you know, she'll show me a batch. And some of them are expensive, man.
You don't live with your mom.
No, I don't. She doesn't live very far from me, though. But I could send you some pictures afterwards. She takes some of the most beautiful photographs. But, cool. You go over there. She's like the Hitler of mice. Like, she's got all this different level shelving unit, right? Okay. And she breeds because she breeds the mice as well.
How many snakes does she have, you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was over 30. You know, could be more than that.
Wow,
could be
is she married?
More than that. Yeah. Yeah, man. She found another dude that's down for. She's got more than that, though. She's got tarantulas. She's got I don't know.
I would love your family. Yeah. So they're just easy to take care of. Feed them once a week, and they don't care if I hold them or not. You know, if I go for a week without holding my snake or scorpion, they're totally fine with that.
Oh, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. Yeah, she's got scorpions as well. I don't know if she still has scorpions. I grew up in a house that was like multiple animals at all times. You know, we had a sulcata tortoise growing up, all kinds of salamanders, a lot of frogs, a lot of different tree frogs. But I saw that on your Instagram that you said that you were into reptiles, and it's like, that's one of those things where if you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, it's a weird thing to even try to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I'm into a lot of things that I don't know that no one else around me is into. That's what I like getting into. You know, everyone around me is into sports and into comedy and theater. I'm like, okay, you guys have that, I'll have my reptiles.
Yeah, for sure. They're an interesting thing, man. I know bearded dragons, or I don't know if it's all lizards, but I know bearded dragons where their pineal gland is, they actually have a retina and a lens. So if you look on the top of a bearded dragon's head, right between his eyes, there's this translucent little circle.
Right.
And that is actually where his little pineal gland is sitting back there. And I'm like, it's a bizarre thing.
Yeah.
You know, to look at him like that. But I saw a video the other day of somebody like scratching him underneath their, you know, they've got those big, like spiky, yeah, almost jowls, and he's fucking loving it. His eyes are closing and he's stretching out his neck and they're just massaging. And I'm like, they're kind of, you know, lizards get a bad rap for being just cold.
No,
and they're affectionate, yeah, in a way.
They're cute. I mean, my snake is super adorable. I mean, you've seen hognose. They have that snout.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
They're friendly and they like the touch of people because they're warm.
So when it's feeding time, though, I've seen them like really go at it, though. Like they're very fast. When it's time to eat, like as far,
yeah,
as what they're eating, little mice,
oh, yeah,
or
when you watch
or whatever.
A snake eat. That's why I think they get a bad rap for being like evil creatures. You
right.
Watch kill a mouse, you go, oh, that thing's an animal.
Yeah, we had a hog nose and we went to give him when I was over there, my mom goes, oh, look, you want to see me feed the hog nose? I said, yeah, that's cool. And it was just like the way he went at this little pinky, he managed to sever the leg off of it. Which,
oh, wow.
And it was like bleeding everywhere. And I was like, holy shit. But, you know, but they have a look to them because of that upward nose. They look a little, yeah, evil.
See, I think you think evil. I think cute.
They're I'll give you cool. But those things look like they look bad, man. They look like they're going to fuck something up. But they're,
yeah,
small.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine's, I think you don't have any pets.
I have a cat. I just, you know, the same thing you talked about the dog is it's just like, it's too, the cat I could leave alone for, you know, 3 days, as long as his food's full, he won't even greet me when I come in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'll eventually slink over and want to be pet. But as long as his food is filled and his litter box is clean and his water's filled up, he's good to go. And, but as far as a dog, you know what it was is like, I saw my mom just not be able to go anywhere because right now she's got like 4 Frenchies, French bulldogs. And it's like, you can't go anywhere. Nobody's going to watch the dogs. So you can't leave.
Yeah.
You can't go on vacation.
You got a babysitter. You got to go home to walk it or feed it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. It's like having a
kid.
And
they're goofy as hell. And once you get into like those breeds, like a French bulldog, it's like they're riddled with all types of different, you know, hip dysplasia and respiratory issues because they got no fucking neck and they got no snout. And all these different things. And I'm just like, I'm good, man. My whole life, I've had more than 2 dogs at a time. I never had less than 2 dogs my whole life until I got out of my mom's house. You know, so to me, it's just, I'm good. The cat's cool. You know what I mean? We managed to get a cat that's not aggressive and he's super friendly and he just wants to be pet. And, you know, you give him some catnip every once in a while, and that's pretty dope. Watch him go a little crazy, and that's it, man. That's the end of the show for me. I'm good. Maybe when I'm old.
Yeah,
but,
that's how I feel. Yeah, maybe I'll get a dog when I'm settled down.
What about you? You got anything over there?
Any dogs?
Anything.
Just the snake and the scorpion.
That's it. That's,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, snake and scorpion. I'm not a cat guy. I don't like the way cats smell.
Like the litter box.
Just cats, I think. I don't know. I don't like the smell of cats. And then I had a tarantula, but the tarantula passed away recently. And
how long do they live?
I think they live upwards of 12 years, but I got mine fully grown, so I don't know how old it was when I got it.
How long did you have it for?
A few years. I don't know how it died. So it could have died of old age. I don't know if I did something wrong. I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
But yeah, so that passed away. They were all named Diamond. I have Diamond the Snake, Diamond the Tarantula, Diamond the Scorpion, which were named after my neighbor's dog, which is named Diamond. And his dog was named after his former dog, which was named Diamond.
What's going on there, dude? What the fuck?
You know, just my little diamonds.
Right, but your neighbor's dog was Diamond, and it was named after his other dog, Diamond? Does he fucking know?
Yeah, and then he knows. So whenever he brings up Diamond, I say, well, which Diamond are you talking about?
Oh, so you have a good relationship with your neighbor.
Yeah. No, my building is pretty cool. My next door neighbor is my younger brother, Milan.
Okay.
And then
what the fuck?
And then above me is my neighbor, Alex, who's a comedian. And then next to him is another guy who dabbles in comedy named Humberto.
Okay.
So it's like a nice
That's
little
amazing.
Crew in this building.
Do you guys have little block parties?
No block parties, but I do a show in my living room called Ari's Apartment Show.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the last thing I wanted to ask you about. You do a show out of your fucking living, out of your apartment.
Yeah, I do a show out of my apartment, a stand-up comedy show. It was, it's fun. Yeah, I just booked my friends on it. I have a little stage. You can see it over here. Behind that projector screen, there's a curtain and a stage.
That's fucking cool.
I do a stool and a microphone, and I get strangers off the internet. Come watch it. I fill up this living room here with chairs.
What are you streaming it on? Just YouTube Live?
I don't stream it, no. Just for the people who show up.
How many people are you getting in there?
I pack like 30.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, I got a spotlight. It's pretty cool. And I've had, you know, Theo did it. I've had Michael Costa, Pauly
Shore.
Dude,
who else is doing that? Where did you get that idea from?
There's a few of them now. I don't know if I was the first or not, but...
Were you the pioneer? Did you start this shit?
I don't know. The reason why I did it here is because I'm lazy. I didn't want to leave. And then also, when you produce a show at a comedy club, there is pressure to fill up that club to get people to come out.
Right.
And I figured, you know, we'll see how it goes. Maybe if 5 people show up, that would be a bummer, but no harm, no foul.
Right, yeah.
But they've been pretty full. They've been pretty fun.
Dude, how much fun is that? I mean, it can't be much more comfortable than being in your own fucking apartment.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's also weird because you have all these strangers come over to your apartment.
And then you got to tell them to get out at some point.
They've all been so far, knock on wood, they've been very respectful and they leave right after. I haven't had any weird issues, but I have strangers coming in here, you know, off of meetup.com, Craigslist, Airbnb.
Oh, you're crazy.
Because I got to promote the show, you know. I don't want just to be 3 of my friends here as the audience. I want a real audience here every time.
You got a doorman?
No, that'd be funny, though.
That'd be awesome. That's terrifying.
Opening up the show, and I'll have a host, and then 5 or 6
Oh, I thought you said you had a band opening up the show. I'm like, what the fuck?
No, I do. I have a band, yeah. Every show.
Your neighbors are all fucking your brother and other comedians, so it doesn't even matter.
Every month I'll try and get a different band, a different group of comedians. This month I have Andrew Santino. I have Tom Rhodes. He's great.
And that's fucking amazing.
Fahim Anwar, all coming over this month to do some.
Are you kidding me?
So it'll be a good. It's a good show right here.
Dude, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. That's beautiful.
It's funny, and then I want to eventually plan Ari's Apartment Comedy Festival.
Oh my god!
A weekend of shows here.
Well, you know what you got to do is you have to start having more comedian friends put in applications to the apartment, and just get them in there.
There's literally only one person in the building that we don't know.
Oh,
it's a small building.
Out.
It's like a 6-unit building.
You need to go knock on that door right now.
She's cool with it. She comes to the show sometimes.
Cool, yeah. Unless she's that 90-pound Asian chick, she's got to get out. She's got to get out, man. That is very cool, though. I didn't think, you know, I wanted to talk to you about that, but I didn't think that it was that, you know, finding out that your neighbors and everything were all comedians and that's, I mean, as much as what, 30 people, you said?
Yeah, some upwards of, you know, I'd say anywhere from 20 to 40 people tops.
What
in here?
So how long is the show typically?
A little over an hour.
Wow.
Like an hour and 20 minutes. It's it's intimate. I usually screen one of my like short videos that I make. I'll play it on the projector before the show starts.
Are you providing pizza pockets?
I usually have it's not always pizza, but I'll have some sort of snack and beer.
Dude,
it's a good time.
Okay, just take me back real quick to the beginning of that, like the first time you were like, fuck that. I don't imagine that started off as a show. It probably was a goof the first time. Like, I'm just going
to. Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to continue to do it, but I did it the first time and it was packed, you know, with people and comedians had a good time.
From the first time?
Yeah, from the first time. I mean, I made a poster for it. I had good comics. People thought it was a weird enough idea. I the first one I think was called Ari's Gun Show. I forget because every time I change the name of it, so I'll go like First one was like Ari's Gun Show. Then I did Ari's Hot Pocket Hoedown. And I did Ari's. I go like weapon, food.
That's a good system. That's usually my system at home as well.
And the food ones do a little better. This month is Ari's Disco Dynamite or Ari's Dynamite Disco. Yeah, Ari's Dynamite Disco.
Wow.
And it's good. It's a stacked lineup. The only people that haven't done it that I want to do it is like, I almost have her. Once I get all the big names that I want on the show that have done it, that's when I'm going to do the festival.
It's such a bizarre thing because it's like you're just going around the clubs. You know, you just whoop, right around the back of them and just, why, let's just do it in the living room. I'm not saying that that's the goal, but I love things that do that. Like, I love a podcast because a podcast is like, you know, never mind producers, never mind managers, never mind all that bizarre stuff, never mind all the advertising agencies and things that you have to navigate as far as like network television and stuff. I love things that go around the back door that find a new way of doing things. And it's just cool because to hear the success of that is like, I mean, dial it back 10 years ago, who would have been like, yeah, you could do like a pretty cool show out of your apartment and like you'll have big name comedians show up and you can fill it up. Yeah, no problem.
Well,
dude,
it's one of those things where I don't make money on the show. Not really. Like, I sell some tickets on Airbnb, but I usually lose a little money doing it just for fun.
Right.
And I get some big names because I'm friends with them, but right. I've never really gotten a big name stranger, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it was just for fun. I still perform at all the clubs and all that at the Comedy Store. I have a show there tonight. But it's like, yeah.
How cool is just filling it up with your friends?
Yeah, it's just like throwing a little fun party. It's just fun being a host for the night, you know?
How dope is that? That's very cool. Listen, man, we're hitting the hour and a half mark. I don't want to keep you anymore. But I do want to thank you for taking the time out and doing this. I really enjoyed it. And I appreciate you finding the time for me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
Where can my listeners find you as far as like social media and things of that nature goes?
I'm everywhere. Just look up my name, Ari Manis, Arimannis. I got a website, YouTube.
Yeah, Arimannis.com.
You name it, I got it, dude.
All right, Ari. Well,
and I don't care what color your skin is or what gender you are or if you're a mix of genders.
If you're a 90-pound Asian chick, he'll be making sure that you're not eating shit, and if he sees you eat too much shit, he might just send you home just for like your own sake. Just if you're getting hurt,
I know, you know, there's for sure going to be someone listening, like a girl, like a feminist is going to be listening to this and be like, I can't believe you sent her home, she would have done it, blah blah blah, but you weren't there, dude. You weren't there. I didn't want
you didn't
to
see
her.
How much skin she didn't have any fucking skin on her arms.
I didn't want to send her home. I had to send her home. I don't want to be sued.
She had no more palms left.
She really didn't. She had no.
Yeah, I believe that's the first thing that takes the beating, man, is your palms.
She cried herself to sleep every night, and she could barely even fall asleep because if she moved, she was in pain.
She had to get skin grafts. Well, listen, Ari, I really appreciate it. Everybody that's been listening, thank you guys so much for listening. Please head over to whereibelongpodcast.com. You'll be able to gain access to all of my social media and things of that nature. While you're there, please leave a rating, a review, or a subscription. It all helps the show to grow. And if you want to support the show and you're looking for a way, on whereibelongpodcast.com, there will be a link for my Patreon. And if you want to support, you could do it for as little as $1 a month. So that's a great way to do it. Thank you all for listening. And thank you, Ari, for being the man and sticking it out for me.
Thank you.
All right. Peace, brother.
Later, dude.
You live and you learn and then there's nothing you could do to stop the impending doom of you and everyone you love dying. Where I Belong Podcast.